వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Om Shri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram on this first Thursday of 2020, and today is the 2nd of January 2020, wishing you all a happy, holy and prosperous new year. And with me, Team Radio Sai's Sunil, welcoming you to this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. With the new year also begins the 95th year of Advent of our dear Lord Sai. And yesterday in the Sai Kulwant Hall, the official logo of the 95th birthday was released along with the theme music for this grand occasion. I'll now play for you the music that was released as part of the 95th year of Advent of our beloved Bhagwan. Hope you enjoyed the music that was composed specially for this occasion of the 95th year of Advent of our dear Lord Sai. Let me now, as always, read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. How to transform devotion to surrender. Bhagwan lovingly explains to us today, and I quote, "In this worldly life, love is manifesting in several forms, such as the love between mother and son, husband and wife, and between relatives. This love, based on physical relationships, arises out of selfish motives and self-interest. But the love of the divine is devoid of any trace of self-interest. It is love for the sake of love alone. This is called bhakti or devotion. One characteristic of this love is to give, not receive. Secondly, love knows no fear. Thirdly, it is love for love's sake and not for selfish motives. All these three angles of love jointly connote prapatti or surrender. When one revels in this attitude of prapatti, one experiences the bliss of the divine. For this, the prime requisite is kshama, of forgiveness and forbearance. only a person who has this attitude of chama can be considered to be endowed with sacred love, unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on January 1st, 1994. Dear listener, today in Divine Glory, I've lined a few readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemadpan, followed by the first part of a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Professor N. Nanjundaya, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan and the former controller of examinations of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. But first, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemad Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. Later at 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 38. Baba's Handi, Disrespect of Shrine, Cup of Buttermilk. In the last chapter, we described Baba's Chavadi procession. In this, we take up Baba's Handi or cooking pot and some other subjects. Preliminary. O blessed Sadguru Sai, we bow to you, who has given happiness to the whole world, accomplished the welfare of the devotees, and have removed the affliction of those who have resorted to your feet. By being very liberal and also being the protector and savior of the bhaktas who surrender themselves to you, you have incarnated yourself in this world to oblige the mankind and do them good. The liquid essence of pure self was poured into the mold of Brahma, and out of this has come out the crest jewel of the saints, Sai. This Sai is Atmaram himself. He is the abode of the perfect divine bliss. After having attained himself all objects of life, he made his devotees established on the path. Baba's Handi. Different sadhanas are prescribed in our scriptures for different ages. Tapa is recommended for Krita age, Dhyan for Treta age, Yajna for Dwapara age, and Dan for Kali Yuga. Of all the charities, giving food is the best one. We are much perturbed when we get no food at noon. Other beings feel similarly under such circumstances. After knowing this, he who gives food to the poor and the hungry is the best donor or charitable person. The Taittiriya Upanishad says, food is Brahma. From food all the creatures are born, and by food they live. And after having departed into food again, they enter. When an atithi comes to your door at noon, it is our duty to welcome him by giving him food. Other kinds of charities, namely giving away wealth, property and clothes, require some discrimination. But in the matter of food, no such consideration is necessary. If anybody comes to our door at noon, he should be served forthwith. And if lame, crippled, blind and diseased persons come, they should be fed first, and the able-bodied persons and our relatives later. The merit of feeding the former is much greater than that of feeding the latter. Other kinds of charities are imperfect without this annadan, just as stars without the moon, necklace without its pendant, crown without its pinnacle, pond without a lotus, bhajan without devotion, married lady without the kumkum mar, song without a sweet voice, or buttermilk without salt. Just as varan excels all other dishes, annadan is the best of all merits. Now, let us see how Baba prepared food and distributed it to others. It has been stated before that Baba required very little food for himself, and whatever little he wanted was obtained by begging from a few houses. But when he decided to distribute food to all, he made preparations himself. He depended on nobody and troubled none in this matter. First, he went to the bazaar and bought all the things like corn, flour, spices by paying cash. He also did the grinding in the open courtyard of the masjid. He arranged a big hearth and after lighting a fire, he kept a handi over it with a proper measure of water. There were two kinds of handis, one small and the other big. The former provided food for 50 persons, the latter for 100. Sometimes he cooked meethe chawal, sweet rice, and at other times biryani with meat. At times in the boiling varan, he let in small balls of thick or flat bread of wheat flour. He grinded the spices on a stone slab and put thin pulverized spices into the cooking pot. He took all the pains to make the dishes very palatable. He prepared ambil by boiling jwari flour in water and later mixing it to buttermilk and then boil both together. With the food, he distributed this ambil to all alike. To see whether the food was properly cooked or not, Baba rolled up the sleeve of his kafni and put his bare arm in the boiling cauldron without fear and churned the whole mass from side to side and up and down. There was no mark of burn on his arm nor fear on his face. When the cooking was over, Baba got the pots in the masjid and had them duly consecrated by the Maulvi. First, he sent part of the food as prasad to Mahasapati and Tathya Patil, and then he served the remaining contents with his own hand to all the poor and helpless people to their heart's content. Really blessed and fortunate must be those people who got food prepared by Baba and served by him. Somebody may raise a point here and ask, did Baba distribute vegetarian and non-vegetarian food as prasad to all his devotees? The answer is plain and simple. Those who were accustomed to non-vegetarian food were given non-veg food from the handi as prasad. And those who were not so accustomed were given vegetarian meals. There is a principle that when a guru himself gives anything as prasad, the disciple who thinks and doubts whether it's acceptable or otherwise goes to perdition. In order to see whether any disciple has imbibed this principle, Baba at times put them to test. For instance, on an Ekadashi day, he gave some rupees to Dada Kelkar and asked him to go in person to Kurhala to get meat from there. This Dada Kelkar was an orthodox Brahmin and stuck to all orthodox manners in his life. He knew that offering wealth, grain and clothes to a Sadguru was not enough, but that implicit obedience to him and prompt compliance with his order was a real dakshina that pleased him most. So Dada Kelkar dressed himself and started for the place. Then Baba called him back and said, don't go yourself, send somebody else. Then Dada sent his own servant Pandu for the purpose. When Baba saw him going, he asked Dada to call him back and cancelled the program. On another occasion, Baba asked Dada just to see how saltish the biryani was done. The latter replied casually, it was all right. Then Baba said to him, neither have you seen it with your own eyes, nor tasted it with your tongue. Then how could you say it was good? Just take off the lid and see. While saying this, Baba caught his arm and thrust it into the pot and added, take some out of this, leaving aside your orthodox ways. Taste a little. When a wave of real love rises in a mother's mind, she pinches her child. And when he begins to cry, she hugs him close to her bosom. Similarly, Baba, in a true motherly way, pinched Dada Kelkar in this way. Really, no saint or guru will ever force his orthodox disciple to eat food forbidden in his religion. The handi business went on for some time till 1910 and was stopped thereafter. As stated before, Dasganu spread the fame of Baba by his kirtans far and wide in the Mumbai Presidency, and people from that part of the country began to flock to Shirdi, which became very soon a place of pilgrimage. The devotees brought with them various articles for presentation and offered various dishes of food as naivedya. The quantity of naivedya offered by them was so much the fakirs and paupers could feed themselves to their heart's content, leaving some surplus behind. Before stating how naivedya was distributed, we shall refer to Nana Saheb Chandorkar's story showing Baba's regard for local shrines and deities. Nana Saheb's disrespect of a shrine. By drawing inferences or guessing in their own way, some people said that Sai was a Brahmin and some said he was a Muslim. In reality, he belonged to no caste. No one knew definitely when he was born and in what community and who his parents were. Then how could he be a Muslim or a Brahmin? If he was a Muslim, how could he keep his dhuni ever burning in the masjid? How could there be a Tulsi Vrindavan there? How could he allow the blowing of conches and the ringing of bells? How could he allow all the different forms of Hindu worship there? Had he been a Muslim, could he have ears pierced? And could he have spent money from his pocket for repairing Hindu temples? On the contrary, he never tolerated the slightest disrespect to shrines and deities. Once, Nana Saheb Chandorkar came to Shirdi with his sadhu, husband of his wife's sister, Mr. Biniwale. When they went to masjid and sat before Baba, the latter suddenly got angry with Nana Saheb and said, "You have been so long in my company, then why do you behave like this?" Nana Saheb at first did not understand anything and humbly requested Baba to explain. Baba asked him, when did he come to Kopargaon and how he came to Shirdi from there? Nana Saheb then at once realized his mistake. He usually worshipped the shrine of Datta on the banks of the Godavari at Kopargaon on his way to Shirdi. But this time, he dissuaded his relative, who was a Datta Bhakt, from going to that shrine in order to avoid delay and drove straight. He confessed all this to Baba and told him that while bathing in the Godavari, a big thorn went into his foot and gave him much trouble. Baba said that was a slight punishment he met and warned him to be more careful in the future. Kala, hodgepodge. To revert to the distribution of naivedya. After the aarti was over and after Baba sent away the people with udi and blessings, he went inside and sat behind a curtain with his back to the nimbar for meals, with two rows of the intimate devotees, one on each side. The bhaktas brought naivedya containing a variety of food such as puris, mande, polis, basandi, sanza, fine rice, etc., and kept waiting outside for prasad consecrated by Baba. All the foods were mixed in a hodgepodge and placed before Baba. He offered it to the gods and consecrated it. Then, portions of the same were given to the persons waiting outside and the rest was served to the group of devotees inside with Baba at the center. The bhaktas sitting in two rows then dined to their heart's content. Baba asked Shama and Nana Saheb Nimonkar daily to serve the consecrated food to all the persons sitting inside and look to their individual needs and comforts. This they did very carefully and willingly. Every morsel of the food thus partaken gave them fulfillment and satisfaction. Such sweet, lovely and consecrated food it was, ever auspicious and ever holy. Cup of buttermilk. Once Hemad Pant had eaten to his full capacity in this company when Baba offered him a cup of buttermilk. Its white appearance pleased him, but there was no space for it. He, however, took only a sip. On seeing his faltering attitude, Baba said, "Drink it all. You will not get such opportunity hereafter." Hemad Pant drank it all off then and found that Baba's words were prophetic, for he passed away after a brief period. Now, readers, we have certainly to thank Hemad Pant. He drank the cup of buttermilk but has supplied us with sufficient quantity of nectar in the form of Baba's leelas. Let us drink this nectar to our heart's content and be satisfied and happy. bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 39. Baba's knowledge of Sanskrit. His interpretation of a verse from Gita. Construction of the Samadhi Mandir. This chapter deals with Baba's interpretation of a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. As some people believe that Baba had little knowledge of Sanskrit, but by the interpretation of Nana Sahib Chandorkar's question, Hemad Pant refuted the charge in chapter number 50. And as it deals with the same subject matter, it is incorporated in this chapter. Preliminary. Blessed is Shirdi and blessed is Dwarka Mai, where Sri Sai lived and moved until he took his Mahasamadhi. Blessed are the people of Shirdi, whom he obliged and for whom he lived there. Shirdi was a small village first, but it attained importance on account of his contact and became a Tirtha, holy place of pilgrimage. Equally blessed are the women folk of Shirdi. Blessed is their whole and undivided faith in him. They sang the glories of Baba while bathing, grinding, pounding corn and doing other household work. Baba's interpretation. Nobody believed that Baba knew Sanskrit. One day, he surprised all by giving an interpretation of a verse from the Gita to Nana Sahib Chandorkar. A brief account about this matter was written by Mr. B.B. Dev, retired Mamlatdar, and published in Marathi in Sri Sai Leela magazine, Volume 4. Short accounts of the same are also published in Sai Baba, page 36, both by B.B. Narasimha Swami. Mr. B.B. Dev has also given an English version of this in a statement dated 27-9-1936 and published on page 66 of Devotee's Experience, Part 3, by Narasimha Swami. As Mr. Dev has got first-hand information about this subject from Nana Sahib himself, we give below his version. Nana Sahib Chandorkar was a good student of Vedanta. He had read Gita with commentaries. He fancied that Baba knew nothing of Sanskrit texts. So, Baba one day pricked the bubble. These were the days before crowds flocked to Baba, when Baba had individual meetings at the mosque with such devotees. Nana was sitting near Baba and massaging his legs and muttering something under his breath. Here is a dialogue between Baba and Nana. Baba: Nana, what are you mumbling yourself? Nana: I'm reciting a shloka. Baba: What shloka? Nana: From the Bhagavad Gita. Baba: Say it loudly. Nana then recited Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 34, which is as follows: Tat viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina satatva darshina. Baba: Nana, do you understand that? Nana: Yes. Baba: If you do, then tell me its meaning. Nana: It means this: making shashtanga namaskar, that is prostration, asking the Guru, serving him, learn what this knowledge is. Then those who have attained the real knowledge of the Sadvastu or Brahma will give you upadesh of knowledge. Baba: Nana, I do not want this sort of collected purport of the whole stanza. Give me each word, its grammatical force and meaning. Then Nana explained word by word. Baba: Nana, is it enough to merely make prostration? Nana: I do not know any other meaning for the word pranipat than making prostration. Baba: What is pariprashna? Nana: Asking questions. Baba: What does prashna mean? Nana: The same, questioning. Baba: If pariprashna means the same as prashna, why did Vyasa add the prefix pari? Was Vyasa off his head? Nana: I do not know of any other meaning for the word pariprashna. Baba: Seva. What sort of seva is meant? Nana: Just what we are doing to you. Baba: is it enough to render such service? Nana, I do not know what more is signified by the word seva. Baba, in the next line, upadekshyanti te jnanam, can you read any other word instead of jnanam? Nana, yes. Baba, what word? Nana, agjnanam. Baba, taking that word instead of jnan, is any meaning made out of this verse? Nana, no. Shankara Bhashya gives no such construction. Baba, never mind if he does not. Is there any objection to using the word agyan if it gives a better sense? Nana, I do not understand how to construe by placing agyan in it. Baba, why does Krishna refer Arjun to Tattvadarshis to do his prostration, interrogation and service? Was not Krishna a Tattvadarshi, in fact, jnan itself? Nana, yes, he was. But I do not make out why he referred Arjun to jnanis. Baba, have you not understood this? Nana was humiliated. His pride was knocked down. Then Baba began to explain. It is not enough merely to prostrate before the jnanis. We must make sarvasva sharanagati, complete surrender to the Sadguru. Mere questioning is not enough. The question must not be made with any improper motive or attitude, or to trap the Guru and catch mistakes in the answer, or out of idle curiosity. It must be earnest with a view to achieve spiritual progress or liberation. Seva is not rendering service with a feeling that one is free to offer or refuse service. One must feel that he is not the master of the body, that the body is Guru's and exists merely to render service to him. If this is done, the Sadguru will show you what the knowledge referred to in the previous stanza is. Nana did not understand what is meant by saying that a Guru teaches a jnan. Baba, how is jnan updesh, that is, imparting of realization, to be effected? Destroying ignorance is jnan. Removal of ignorance is, O Arjun, if dream and sleep disappear, you are yourself. It is like that, says the Bhagavad Gita. It also says, is there anything different or independent in jnan besides the destruction of ignorance? Expelling darkness means light. Destroying duality means non-duality. Whenever we speak of destroying Dvaita, we speak of Advaita. Whenever we talk of destroying darkness, we talk of light. If we have to realize the Advaita state, the feeling of Dvaita in ourselves has to be removed. That is a realization of the Advaita state. Who can speak of Advaita while remaining in the Dvaita state? Unless one gets into that state of non-duality, how can one know it and realize it? Again, the Shishya or the disciple, like the Satguru, is the embodiment of jnana. The difference between the two lies in the attitude, high realization and unrivaled capacity and Aishwarya Yoga or divine powers. The Satguru is Nirgun, Sat Chit Anand. He has indeed taken human form to elevate mankind. But his real Nirgun nature is not destroyed thereby, even a bit. His existence or reality, divine power and wisdom remain undiminished. The disciple also is in fact of the same Swarupa, but it is overlaid by the effect of the sanskars of innumerable births in the shape of ignorance, which veils his view that he is Shuddha Chaitanya. As stated therein, he gets the impressions, I am Jiva, a creature, meek and poor. The Guru has to root out these offshoots of ignorance and has to give upadesh or instructions. To the disciple, held spellbound for endless generations by the ideas of his being a Jiva, the Guru imparts the teaching, you are God, you are mighty and opulent. Then he realizes that he is God really. The perpetual delusion under which the disciple is laboring, that he is the body, that he is a creature or jiva or ego, that God, Paramatma and the world are different from him, is an ignorance inherited from innumerable past births. From actions based on it, he has derived his joy, sorrows and mixtures of both. To remove this delusion, this error, this root ignorance, he must start the inquiry. How did the ignorance arise? Where is it? And to show him, this is called the Guru's Updesh. The following are the instances of Agyan. I am a jiva. I am the body. God, world and jiva are different. I am not God. Not knowing that body is not the soul. Not knowing that God, world and jiva are one. Unless these errors are exposed to his view, the disciple cannot learn what is God, jiva, world, body, how they are interrelated and whether they are different from each other or are one and the same. To teach him these and destroy his ignorance is this instruction in Gyan or Agyan. Why should Gyan be imparted to the jiva? Updesh is merely to show him his error and destroy his ignorance.
Sai Guru Var ki Paramanand Sada.
Master Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity. Under the spotlight today is Professor M. Nanjundaya, who is in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. This is a six-part interview, and today you can enjoy the first part of this six-part interview. Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Tryst with Divinity. Under the spotlight today is Professor M. Nanjundaya. The story of Professor Nanjundaya's coming to Swami is one of how divine grace never just rains but pours. The former controller of examinations of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Professor M. Nanjundaya, came to Bhagwan Baba in the year 1973 as a result of a simple prayer to be an instrument of Bhagwan. He had prayed to Baba to give him an opportunity to just deliver a few guest lectures at Baba's Whitefield College. That is when Bhagwan, in all his love, extended it by asking him to join as a full-time lecturer in his college. He joined as a reader and the head of the Commerce Department in the erstwhile Sri Satya Sai College of Art, Science and Commerce for Boys at Whitefield, which was then affiliated to the Bangalore University. Before that, he was the head of the Department of Commerce, MES College, affiliated to Bangalore University. Professor Nanjundaya had stood first in Karnataka University's MCOM program. Despite many lucrative professional possibilities, he chose teaching as he believed that it was a noble profession that had the power to mold the next generation. During the first 3 years of his heading the Commerce Department at Baba's Whitefield College, many of the top ranks of the university were backed by Sai students, thus giving immense joy to Swami, and Swami felicitated him in a grand ceremony in 1976 in recognition of his services. After staying 9 years with Baba in Vrindavan Ashram and serving his college, Professor Nanjundaya was asked to come to Puttaparthi as the Deputy Controller of Examination in the newly formed Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a deemed university. Since then, he has been instrumental in setting up the examination section of the university from scratch and also in framing the syllabus for the MCOM and MBA programs. More importantly, he is one of the few chosen ones who enjoyed close proximity to Baba, receiving many spiritual lessons from him in person during the course of his daily interaction. He was also blessed with the privilege of translating Baba's discourses into English from the years 1981 to 93. In Baba's own words, during the felicitation ceremony marking the retirement of Professor Nanjundaya from an extended duty as controller of examination, on 9th of July 2010, Baba said, and I quote, "Nanjundaya has been the controller of examinations. He has been very kind to all students. He has been working day and night in order to declare the results well in time. He never used to take rest even for a while. He would engage himself in correcting papers even while suffering from fever. Everybody was depending upon him. He had to take much trouble in sending results to Anantapur and Bangalore colleges. We were very much concerned at the troubles he had to face," unquote. Today, dear listeners, I have the honor of sitting across from Professor Nanjundaya, the controller of examination of my own alma mater, and to welcome him to Radio Sai. Sairam, sir.
Sairam, Sairam.
How nice to have you here. Welcome to Radio Sai, sir.
It's such a great joy. In fact, after listening to your introduction, I am a little overwhelmed. Thank you.
Oh, sir, please don't say that. Just reading a few facts, that's all. You are one of the few individuals who has enjoyed such immense grace from Swami, and you've always maintained such humility about your stature, about your position. How did this journey, this fabulous journey of coming to the lotus feet, begin?
As you said, it is purely and totally by the kind grace of Bhagwan. I was a Ramakrishnaite. The gospel of Ramakrishna Kadundiyam was my Veda. The criteria for judging whether a person has realized God or whether a person is God himself was the way that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa speaks so clearly, so forcefully, so straight away in gospel. I came to Parthi in 1967 for the first time, more out of curiosity. Earlier I had seen Swami once in 1962-65, but probably I was not mature enough. Swami allowed time. 67, when I came here by 11 o'clock in the morning, Swami unexpectedly came on the first floor and I had darshan. He gave some instructions to some people which I did not understand nor was I interested. I simply liked. Then I felt that my criteria must be satisfied.
Which that was based on the Gospel of Ramakrishna. Incidentally, that's a book I have read and reread many times. It's so inspiring. Really? You can, it's like a magic book. You can open any page and it speaks directly to you.
That's exactly what I wanted. If Swami can give that, then Swami is God for me, because I am not capable of understanding or judging God. Then I asked someone whether there is anything which Swami has written on spiritual topics. In Prashanti Nilayam, after darshan, I asked. Someone, I think by his grace, mentioned to me, yes, there is Gita Vahini in Telugu. I was all the more happy because Telugu happens to be my mother tongue and I know Telugu. Mm-hmm. I purchased the book. I read it. It was as direct as Paramahamsa's teachings in gospel. I liked it. But the devil doubt rose up. It said, where is the guarantee that it is written by Swami? Someone else could have written also, and Swami might have lent the name. So I started attending Swami's discourses. There was total conformity, the way that Swami speaks and the way that things were expressed in Gita Vahini. And that was the end of
all my doubts. So you were convinced. Your doubts were gone.
Yes.
He passed the test. The litmus test.
See, look at the grace of God when he comes down.
Yeah. How humble
for saving us. And we in our own ignorance.
True.
Tests him and he condescends to satisfy us.
Yes.
That is more important, you know. Anyway, then I fell in love with Swami. Swami became my God. Every function without fail I would attend in Prashanti Nilayam. I would regularly attend all bhajan sessions, Nagar Sankirtan sessions in Bangalore, Vayalikavel extension. And 1973, from nowhere I got the message that I could be a teacher observer in summer course. 1973, there was a summer course in spirituality and Indian culture in Vrindavan. I attended that. The privilege of an observer teacher is he doesn't have any batch to take care of regarding their discipline, their attendance and all that. But I enjoyed all the privileges which a group teacher would enjoy.
And you could have very nice darshan in a good coveted spot to sit.
Totally relaxed and totally concentrating, not being bothered about what I have to do, etc. I simply liked Swami's discourses. Incidentally, I am looking into the translation part of these discourses by Dr. Bhagavantam. Dr. Bhagavantam is an extraordinarily accomplished interpreter or translator. His knowledge of English, his expression, everything is good. But someone asked me whether there is possibility of slightly improving here and there, some word missing, some thought not represented, etc. That's what I'm just doing. So I am enjoying thoroughly. As you mentioned in your introduction, they lost but one day. That is about 19th or 20th of June. When Swami was signing the autographs of the students after the dinner, I was compelled, something forced me to go and ask Swami, "Swami, give me a chance to serve you, Swami."
Although you had a secure job in a college affiliated to the Bangalore University already.
Yes, yes. About that also I'll mention, very interesting things will come. Therefore, I just didn't mention that. Then, of course, I was working in head of the Department of Commerce in MES College, a premier college in Bangalore. It is situated in Malleshwaram. Then, I don't know how these two can go together. I was damn afraid of Swami. Damn afraid of Swami.
Why?
Physically, I do not know.
Was it
but I loved Swami.
You loved him. Were you in awe of him or were you in fear of him?
No, I loved in the sense I was ready to do anything for the sake of Swami. And that much of commitment. But whether I am acceptable, God, whether he would excuse me for some lapses here and there. That kind of feeling, I think, now in retrospect. So I came behind Swami in one corner. When he was signing, I said, "Swami." He said, "Swami. Swami, seva chese avakasam ivvala, Swami." Means, "Swami, I pray that Swami gives me an opportunity to serve him." Swami suddenly turned, looked into my eyes. I tell you, it was a total searching kind of feeling, light into my heart, as if he's seeing my heart inside out. A kind of thrill, but at the same time, I cannot explain, it is delightful, not fearsome, but very deep kind of look into my heart. Then he said, "Yes, Bangaru, but what is it that you are doing now?" "Swami, I am in MES college, commerce teacher." "Yes, we want commerce teacher," Swami said. "You go and see Dr. Gokak," said. And at that time, I didn't have any idea to serve Swami as a full-time teacher in his college. I was fairly popular as a teacher of accountancy and statistics in Bangalore University colleges. I thought that I could come on my own scooter and 2 days in a week, 2 periods a day, 4 periods cover one subject completely, either statistics or accounts, honorary teacher, come and teach and go back. This was my idea. And now I feel, don't be so niggardly while asking Bhagavan. Be a little more liberal. Some part-time lecturer, he must have thought. But he said, talk to Dr. Gokak. One person came running to me and said, a teacher there, "Sir, here they will pay you 300 rupees as your salary. You are a reader there. They will not be able to give you more than that." Then, it was difficult for me because I entirely depended upon my salary to run my family. I was getting about 1,000 rupees, 700 and odd salary, and other income about 200-300, 1,000 rupees at that time. I wanted the reader salary, 705 rupees, I wanted. Otherwise, I would not be able to manage the family.
You had 3 young kids, young children at home?
Yes. I had 3 children, a family, and those 3 children were, one was 1 year old, the other 2 were going to school.
Hmm. And Swami was 47 at that time. How old were you, sir?
I was 36. 36. And then, I didn't go to Dr. Kokak. I went back. One fine evening, when I returned home, my wife told me that Swami wanted to see you. I said that you are mad. Swami wants to see me. How? No, that convener from Vayali Samiti had come. He said that Swami wants to see you, you should go. I started the scooter, went immediately to that gentleman's. He said, we'll go together, come on. We went. Swami had finished his darshan, Swami was going back. I could see only Swami's back. And he said, we'll go to Dr. Gokak. The gentleman who came with me said that we'll go to Dr. Gokak. I went to Dr. Gokak. Dr. Gokak asked me, are you interested in becoming a commerce teacher here? Yes, sir, I said. Then will you apply? Sir, I am a reader, head of the Department of Commerce in MES College. I get about 705 rupees salary. I need that much here. He said, we have advertised only for a lecturer's post. You are a reader. I don't care for that, sir. I am prepared to be a lecturer. But my salary must be 705.
Downgrading professionally.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And he was shocked. He said, I must be either mad or I must have been likely to be thrown out from the other college. Therefore, he is in such a great haste to join. Then he said, hey, don't be so hasty, I say. More like father to me. He knew me during the summer course time, 73. So he said, don't be so hasty and emotional. You are a reader, head of the Department of Commerce in a premier college, and you want to come here as a lecturer. I said, sir, for Swami's sake, I want to come. I don't mind other things. Even regarding the salary, I would not be able to manage my family without that much. Therefore, I want that salary. That is no problem at all, he said. We can fix you on a lecturer's grade in such a way that your emoluments will be 705 rupees. That's no problem. But are you willing? Yes, sir. Are you not interested in discussing this with your parents? My parents always permit me regarding certain things. So, I am ready. Then, I'll go and speak to Swami. After 1 week, you come back. I'll talk to you. Then I went back. He spoke to our principal of MES College, one Professor Shastri was his friend. He wanted to find out whether there is any problem for me. They wanted to get rid of me. He said, no. He was an alumnus of MES College. We know him personally very well. He was the first batch student in this college here.
A first rank.
And we don't want to relieve him, he said. Shastri told Gokak. Later on I came to know about it. Then I went to, 1 week later, when I went, Dr. Gokak said, no, we don't want you to take as a lecturer. We are going to advertise for a reader's post. You apply for reader and we'll take you as a reader. Ah, sir, I said I was shocked, surprised. He said, yes, Swami has said, we'll take him as a reader. You advertise, we'll take him. But that is how it all ended up.
And I'm also in awe of Dr. Gokak's abilities as an administrator. He did his due diligence. He did his reference check.
really.
Very meticulous.
No, really. See, a person who is given to the imaginary flights, a poet, a scholar.
So down to earth
so
when he came to being an administrator.
That. And he advised me not merely find out, don't be so emotional.
And so hasty.
So hasty.
Yeah.
But he understood me. Then, particularly when Swami cleared it and said that you apply for advertise for reader's post, he was all the more convinced that this is a genuine case.
So you could have your cake and eat it too. You got to come as a reader with the right salary.
Yes,
Swami.
Yes. And then there were a few obstacles which I can mention. 1972, Swami's college, there was some problem. Excepting three teachers, all the people were sent out. So, my friends and my relatives, my well-wishers were telling, don't join the college as a lecturer there. You are having a permanent job here. Within 5 minutes you can reach from home to this college. And you are having 3 children. We don't know whether you are having any savings at all. In such a case, giving up job and taking a chance there, particularly when they have thrown out all the people. I said, I was bent upon joining. I didn't care for anything. But still, I was not irrational or unreasonable. I stood by my faith in Karma Siddhantam. I really believed sufficiently. I had read books and I was, you know, exposed towards these kind of things. Therefore, I said, I know by trusting God, if I join, such a thing may not happen. They may not throw me out. Mm-hmm. But in case that happens, mm-hmm. I don't deny that such a thing can never happen. Mm-hmm. But in case that happens, it's more on account of the consequences of my actions in the previous births rather than by Swami's or by the management's action. Even if I don't join, if I have to suffer there, I'll suffer here. This is my firm faith, I am joining. Only thing is, I want to know my wife's views. I asked my wife, she was a very pious type of lady. She said, if you like, you join. Yes, I like, you join. So, these things came. And there was one more thing. I asked before I joined, the interview was over, and everything was fine. I was to join. When I came, Principal Narendra was the principal. He says that you can join. Then I wanted to meet the head of the Department of Commerce in that college, one Ramanna. And I asked him, can I join? You can join, but people were sent out last year. I was also sent out. Finally, when I appealed, they took me in. What could be the reason why they were sent out? Why you were sent out? We don't know the reason. We asked the principal. Principal said, there is no reason. We are sending you. Can I ask the principal? Please ask. I went to Principal Narendra again and asked, sir, I am having 3 children. A permanent job I am having. Before I come and join here, I want to know what is the criteria for being accepted in the college.
And for sending out.
Or sending out. Yeah. Because if I stand any chance of being sent out now, if I know, I may think about it.
Yeah.
So he said he's a very, very mature, very fine type of person with very few words. He said, in your case, it may not happen. Very measured words. In your case, it may not happen. That's all that he said. Then, of course, I went, resigned. Then resignation. That was another problem. Our principal says, I will not relieve you.
From the Bangalore College.
From the Bangalore College. And I said, sir, please relieve me. I want to join. Why? What is lacking here? I have got every facility. You have taken such a good name. And why do you want to go? Your devotion is different. You can go to Swami whenever you want. But where is the need for you to go? Resigning the job. No, no, I would not leave you. He lifts the paperweight. There is a tendency of shifts it and says, no, I will not leave. I prayed to Swami. Swami, this is my something like my mother, alma mater. Should I go with all bitterness? Kindly see that he relieves me, Swami. Mentally, just a prayer. Within minutes he changed. Within minutes, believe me. He asked me, are you very particular about going? That was the first question after my prayer he asked me. Yes, sir, I am very particular. I am not going there for money, for any other facility excepting for Swami. I want to serve Swami. You know that I am not so much interested in money. Even when you offered me NCC officer's post, I said, no, not necessary. Please relieve me. Okay, you can go, he said. Okay, you can go.
Instant turnaround.
Instant turnaround. And then he said, I told him, sir, 3 months notice is required. Can I give you 3 months notice or 3 months salary? He said, not required, believe me. You need not give anything. Needed 3 months notice is not required. No. You can go. He said, this is how things developed. And then I joined Swami's college. This is the...
Beautiful. Now then began a very beautiful journey of developing closeness to Swami.
Yes, yes. But that was again not so smooth. When I joined the college, Swami was unhappy with the teachers. So Swami would choose giving darshan after all of us go to classes. I cried sitting on the steps. What is this, Swami? I came for your sake. I don't have darshan. We can't come in for darshan into the compound. And outside, you come and complete the darshan and go away. But this went on for some time. But once Swami talked to me, I don't exactly remember what was the turning point. But one thing, yes, I remember. I used to spend even nights in the hostel with the boys because that was a new college. 1969, the college came into existence. Less number of teachers, more work. So I would stay in the hostel and spend time with the students. Swami came to know about it. Then Swami began speaking to me a little more. One thing I must tell you now. Swami knows everything, but he will not use anything which he knows just like that. In a natural way, as a human being, he wants to get convinced about things. This is one thing very, very strange, very mysterious about Swami.
The veil of Maya.
The veil of Maya. And he knows, but once they conquer what he knows and what he gets in the physical frame, then of course he plunges. He asked one day after the evening student session was, Swami used to meet students every day after the evening bhajan is over. I went with Swami a few steps when he was climbing. I said, Swami, he turned back, Swami, can I go to Bangalore? He indicated that I should not go to Bangalore, to my home. Very strange way. In a very strange tone, he said, go.
So you read it as he wasn't particularly pleased with the idea.
Yes. And that is an extraordinary grace on the part of Swami to have uttered those words. He would never interfere. He would never take upon himself to guide. He would never take upon himself to do a particular thing unless it is required from his mission point of view. But this is purely from my point of view. Then, that was Veda for me. That's all. Then only during the weekends I would go home. Otherwise I would stay, brought my clothes, etc. A small briefcase. Dr. Lakshmi Narasimham's cupboard I used to share. And I used to spend day and night there. And all this, just see, when the results come, we got ranks as you mentioned. Swami was supremely happy. Is it by any chance, by my effort, that there were ranks? I say yes, by my effort also. Swami has created the entire scene there. 1973 summer course time, he selected some students from Bombay, from Delhi, and from various cosmopolitan centers. They were all having stuff with them. They were all ranked students. He creates, guides me to stay there and work. I work. He takes care of my family entirely.
Who were now living in Bangalore in the city. You were in Whitefield.
Yes, yes.
Throughout the working week.
Yes, yes. And that was one thing which is difficult to believe. Everything Swami does But pretends as if Swami is not doing. One thing that you should remember, you take first step.
He takes the rest.
100 steps he takes.
It's like he says, you do my work, I take care of yours.
Yes, yes. So that way, in fact, believe me, Professor Kasturi and Dr. Gokak thought that I am having some kind of misunderstanding with my family. And therefore I am saying that.
Domestic discord, that's why the man ran away.
Kasturi said, Yemappa Nanjundaya, Inta Vairagyamu ee vayasulo, what Mr. Nanjundaya? What is this kind of detachment in this young age? You must go, live with your family, spend time with them. This is the time when you have to enjoy family life also. I said, no sir, everything is fine. There is no such problem. They are happy. Things are going on well. So, to that extent, I would stay. And believe me, absolutely no problem in the family. Three children going to school, my wife managing, all that. And the way that Swami takes care of, my wife used to make breakfast for Swami. Every Sunday morning, she would bring those three children and making food for me separately because my stomach was not quite all right. Separate food for them, children and herself, and for Swami's breakfast. She would get up by 3 o'clock or so, can't do it. One incident can I mention?
Please, of course.
This is how, and she would come. I'll be waiting for the bus to come, collect the bag, run before Swami comes for his breakfast. This bag must reach
his residence,
dining hall. Radha Krishna was my student.
Mm-hmm.
I would give him and come back. One day she got up by 3 o'clock. She wanted to make coconut chutney. She broke the coconut. Coconut was spoiled.
Oh, I see.
There was only that coconut, no substitute. She felt so miserable. Three children were sleeping. She locked the room in the middle of the night, early morning probably, by 3:30 or something like that. She went to the owner of where we used to buy the provisions shop. He woke him up, brought a coconut, broke it, made chutney, she brings it. All this I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it to Swami and gave it. The real thing comes there. Swami calls Mrs. Ratan Lal and says, Mrs. Ratan Lal, dekho idhar, chutney kaisa hai, tum bhi banata hai. Oh, Nanjundaya ka wife banaya. Susilama is another lady who was helping Mrs. Ratan Lal.
Mm.
Occasionally, whenever she was there.
Mm.
You are also a Vaisya. You are also making chutney. Look at that chutney. I didn't know all that. Then,
because Mrs. Ratan Lal normally prepared food for Swami.
Yes, food for Swami.
Was talking very highly of the chutney your wife had prepared.
The reason is
because of her devotion,
her taking so much of risk and making the chutney. This is what.
So, what kind of food did she prepare for Swami?
Swami, mostly idli, chutney, or dosa, sometimes vada.
Mm-hmm.
This is all that she used to prepare once in a week.
Mm-hmm. Sundays.
And so this also happened. And when I took the bag, and another thing also, Swami knows that the children also will not take food until this bag goes back. This is naivedyam for Swami. It will become prasadam. And Swami said, they will be waiting. You take this, he said. I took it. And then she mentioned to me what happened there. This is Swami's extraordinary gift, giving so much of joy to her, so much of fulfillment, and conceding to, take whatever naivedyam she used to prepare.
The blessed food back for the family.
So this is how it went on and on.
So how did you, after serving in the Whitefield College for so many years, how did the transition to Prashanthi Nilayam happen when the university came into being?
Okay, Another thing also I may mention, Swami, in 77-78, because 73 I joined, 77-78, he came off from Prasanthalayam and told Sudarshan, Dr. Mr. Sudarshan, warden of the hostel, and myself, we should do PhD. So Sudarshan accepted, but I said, Swami, I don't want to do PhD. I'm already 36, 37. No, even 40 probably. At this age, why should I waste my time in looking into useless things, Swami? Let me think of Thee and spend my time with Thee. It will be wasting time, Swami. No, no, you do. Our university will come. You'll have nice opportunities there, he told. I said, Swami, whatever is the thing, but it will be too much for me to spend so much of time on these kind of useless things, Swami. This went on for about a week. Finally, Swami said, all right. He gave. Then what happened? It's a wonderful thing. 1981, for Guru Purnima function also I came here. Swami called me upstairs. I was doing Pada Seva. Swami said, are you interested in becoming controller of examination in the university? I am not interested nor disinterested, Swami. Whatever Swami says, I will do. No, no, no. Not that way. If you are interested, you tell me, because Dr. Gokak, Vice Chancellor, Chakravarti wanted you to be the controller of examination here. If you like it, you say, then I'll tell them, they will take you. Really, Swami, I am not interested. I have no such interest as such. Whatever you do, whatever you tell, I'll do that. Beyond that, nothing else, Swami. No, 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 not that way. Now tell me. Hey, he would not leave me. Really, Swami, I am not interested. Then he said, is it a good job? I said, yes, Swami, it is a very responsible job, but a good job. Then he said, all right, you join. My order, you join. I'll tell you when you'll have to be ready. Don't tell anyone about this particular thing. Keep it to yourself.
Swami was very particular about keeping things under wraps till everything was officially announced.
I'll tell you one thing, yes. See, this he said. I kept it confidential.
Did you tell your wife?
No, no, no. I would not swear an inch from Swami's word. Swami knew it thoroughly about it, thoroughly, and he would trust me for anything. Then when I went back, I had to tell Principal Narendra this because of one specific reason. In that college, Principal Narendra and myself, being a very senior teacher who used to work together for the good of the college, programs, this, that, etc. So suddenly if I leave, I thought it would be unfair on my part. The college may be inconvenient, something like that. Then very casually I mentioned to Narendra, I may be going there as a controller of examination. Then Swami came there after a few days. He mentioned to Swami, Swami, it seems Nanjundaya is coming as controller of examinations there. Then there will be some problems here, Swami, he mentioned. There are no problems, everything will be all right, Swami said. And after he went away, then I had to go, I went to Swami. Swami said, with all seriousness, with a stern face, did you mention to Principal Narendra that you are becoming controller of examinations? I am surprised, what is wrong that I have committed? I said, yes, Swami, I had to mention, this is our college. Suppose tomorrow there is some inconvenience here, who will have to do that, Swami? Therefore, I mentioned to Swami, excepting for Principal Narendra for this purpose, I have not mentioned even to my wife. I don't mention to anything, Swami. Swami is a perfectionist. Swami's word is Vedam. Under no conditions, for no reason, can you violate it. Excepting, perhaps, out of your ignorance and out of your commitment for Swami and the organization. He said, still he wanted to show his displeasure. Go. He said, and then I went, this is how.
So he actually did not expect you to even tell
Principal. Yes, certainly. Certainly not. Once he tells, don't tell anyone, means don't tell anyone.
Ironclad.
There is no question of principle, this, that, etc. I'll tell you one more thing. Once Ramabrahmamgaru was coming, he had, Ramabrahmamgaru was the caretaker of that Vrindavan, Swami's bungalow. He had a glass, a fragile kind of plate or something like that, very valuable one, in his hand. Swami, from the room, called Ramabrahmam, Adakkad Paresasi Nvikadra, throw it and come. He went to a table, Ramabrahmam went to the table, kept that one, and he came. He stood there for 5 minutes, Swami did not talk to him at all. He said, Swami, you called me. When did I call you? I called you then, he said. Yes, Swami, I had, sir. What did I tell you? Throw it and come, I said. You should throw and come.
Do as I say.
Yes. So such, but that for the privileged few. His capacity to forgive and to bear with our inadequacies is enormous. But when he wants to train you for a particular thing, you have to measure up. At each stage, there is what is called a degree of perfection which he expects. Not from everyone. Not from everyone. And in fact, one more thing that you should know. One worst thing that one can do, Swami, is to tell a lie or to be hypocritical. You can commit a blunder. He would forgive you. Once, there was a student who became a lecturer, Nityananda Menon, and he was asked to take Swami's car and see that the battery is charged, go a little distance and come back. Mm-hmm. While coming back, the car touched the corner of the compound door.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and told Swami, very apologetically he said, Swami, I am so sorry, Swami, that this has happened. Hey, what is there? Don't worry, he said. But the same Swami, if you tell a lie, you forfeit your claim for his grace, for his love. He would not excuse you for that. There are instances.
Can you share any?
Yes. Some of the teachers, they were students with us. After the college came here, before the university, there was a college here. There was a problem.
By problem, you mean like a discipline problem?
No, I'll tell you. Swami had taken them to Kashmir.
Yes, the 1980 trip to Kashmir.
Yes.
Yes.
At that time, people with their little minds tried to judge Swami. Tried to measure Swami. Tried to decide for Swami what he should do, what he should not do in their own minds. Mm-hmm. That means they have overstepped. They have used their limited intelligence to understand, to comprehend. Swami's actions, no one should judge. One can understand, but one should have faith. The faith is, whatever Swami does, he is perfect and full of love. This is an axiom. Full of love. Without love, he will never do anything. And only for the good of people. No iota of selfishness in what Swami does.
So what about this stepping outside, overstepping the boundaries by the others? In what sense?
Yes. That is, he mistook Swami. He talked ill of Swami. And in fact, he came to me. Sir, why should Swami do this? What Swami did, I did not know. While conducting himself, he might have conducted in such a way that like an ordinary human being or even like an ignorant person, he might have acted. We do not know what all that. Then I said, why should Swami do this? I said, this is his leela. Sir, I am too mature. Don't use that word leela and all that. I don't understand that. I said, in fact, it is Leela. All the things we cannot understand. I said, okay, sir, I have respect for you. I don't agree with you. It's all right. He left. Anyway, this one is coming along with this, I'll link it up. But then he said, these people came, they decided one poisoning the other's mind. In this connection, one more thing I want to tell you, then I'll continue this.
Sure.
Connected with this. In 1974, we traveled, Swami took us to Shivam in Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. 73 I joined. I told you that I was damn afraid. Please, if you remind me about that, I'll tell how Swami took away all my fear.
Okay.
Then, when we went to Shivam, Swami had taken me so close that a fear disappeared, everything disappeared. But that awe, that joy, that delight, that feeling that Swami is God, that never left me at that time. So when we went to Shivam, in Shivam, Swami was taking bath evening. Kamavadani Garu varu chanting Vedam. And Kamavadani Garu's chanting Vedam, God taking bath, I who do not know Sanskrit and Vedam, I was sitting there, I was telling, do I have also Mukti or Moksham? Because I do not know Vedam, I do not know Sanskrit. This was a passing thought in me. Swami, after taking bath, came out straight away, went to Kamavadhani. What Kamavadhani? Do people who do not know Vedam and Sanskrit also have a chance of getting Mukti and Moksham?
Good question.
Swami asked. He said he doesn't know the background. What is there, Swami? No need. Namasvarane Dhanyopayam.
As long as you chant the divine name.
Yes. In Kali age, the greatest thing that you can do is ceaseless chanting of the name of God.
Even if you don't know Sanskrit or Vedam.
Nothing is required. Ceaseless chanting of the name of God is sufficient.
This is what Kamavadhani said.
Kamavadhani said, told Swami.
Swami, but what was Swami's response?
Swami looked at me. Did you get the answer?
Yes.
Then after that was over.
So Swami concurred with that view.
Yes, concurred. And number of times Swami has told me the same thing he has told me. Namasrane chalu. Then Swami took us, a few people there, from him, from the college, Swami's college, some 3-4 of us and some VIPs. Swami wanted to show the various parts of Swami's residence. In the first floor he was staying, Shivam. This is my drawing room, this is my... He was introducing everything. I was shocked. When I was coming in the aeroplane, people who are great celebrities who are traveling were trying to get a glimpse of Swami, get a touch of Swami's feet, get his attention and have a word with him. Swami was either conceding, not conceding. But here we are. Swami takes us round as if we are VIPs. And shows all that. This was in my mind. Then I said, Swami, Swamini etlartham cheskonalo telidu. Swami, I do not know how to understand Swami. What was in my mind was this baffling things. One, people by worldly standards deserve all attention, were not getting. Here we are working paid teachers, and he treats us so much of love, so much of concern, so much of... Swami knew all that. His answer, that is a mantra. Nannu artham cheskone daniki prayatnam cheyavaddu anubhavinchu anandinchu.
Please translate it, sir.
Yes. Do not try to understand me. Experience and enjoy. Do not try to understand me.
The attempt is just futile. You'll never get anywhere.
Yes.
Do not experience me and taste the bliss.
Experience and enjoy. That is that kind of love for Swami.
Yeah.
That kind of heart. Really, don't allow things to interfere with your kind of love.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard part one of the six-part Tryst with Divinity interview with Professor M. Nanjundaya, who was in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. We look forward to your feedback to this conversation by email. As always, you may email us to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sairam.